If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. We'll read the entire Psalm, but we're going to look at the Lord leading us in right paths. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quieted waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness, or right paths, for His name's sake. That's the portion we're going to look at. He guides me in right paths for His own name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love, or goodness and mercy, will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When we look at Psalm 23 and we read, He guides me in right paths, almost every believer immediately reaches for two key words, right paths. That's important to us. That's intriguing to us. That's desirable to us, because we're convinced if we simply knew the right paths and walked in them, God would be pleased and our lives would be fruitful. We just have trouble, a lot of trouble, figuring out how to make that work. Why? Why is that so difficult to walk in right paths? Well, one basic problem is that when we read, He guides me in right paths, we focus on the wrong two words. The key is not right paths. The key is He guides. He leads. That's what makes the difference. If we follow Him, we always end up walking in right paths. There are a lot of things that we don't like about David likening us to sheep. And why do we want to be like sheep? But probably the most detestable thing is the sheep's need to follow. And that is a problem for us. We like being independent. We value self-determination. We want to make decisions for ourselves. We need to feel in control. I mean, after all, how can we develop a sense of self-worth if we just meekly follow along? If we are totally dependent? If we don't think for ourselves, how can we see ourselves as valuable? The other basic problem is that when we think about right paths, we think about places to go. Paths towards certain goals in life that we should follow. Is it possible that when He's talking about right paths, He may be talking about ways of thinking? Thinking in a constructive way, or attitudes that are healthy, or relationships that are loving? Is that possible that He's talking about right paths in that way? Well, just consider, when the Lord begins to guide in our lives, He begins on the inside. He begins dealing with who we are inwardly. He starts shaping our thinking, our values, our desires, and he begins to deal with the stiffness of our will. And he begins to try to see if we are moldable. Now, this is not a quick, easy process, but it is absolutely essential if he's ever going to successfully guide and if we're ever going to follow. So he begins on the inside. You see, following is more a matter of relationship than it is direction. The direction will come. The relationship is the basic issue. It's not following because we should or we must. It's following because we want to. It's not just doing the right thing. It's being the right person and maintaining the right relationship. That's following. From God's perspective, leading is part of His loving. And from our perspective, following is part of our fellowship. Where we go is determined by who we are. And that is what God is interested in. Who we are. He's not giving us points for where we go. He's interested in what He's doing in our life. What kind of development, what kind of freedom He has to mold us into His likeness. Now, if we're going to understand Psalm 23, we have to understand that David has written this through the eyes of the sheep. He is speaking as one of God's sheep. So we have to understand it that way. So when we look at the experience of the sheep, what does it mean from the sheep's perspective when he says, "He guides me in right paths"? Well, the Palestinian shepherd and his sheep frequently pass over terrain that is crisscrossed with numerous paths. Each of them is equally inviting. Each of them has its own intrigue. And to the untrained eye, there's very little clue given to discern which one of these is the right path. But the shepherd knows that his life and the safety of his flock is dependent upon the fact that he knows. Now, since sheep have no discernment of direction, wouldn't it be rather foolish to allow the sheep to choose the path? The security of the sheep is totally involved in their ability to follow the shepherd. He knows. Sheep in the Holy Land are not driven. They're led. And in fact, the sheep that are there in the Holy Land have herding instincts that are far better than some of the other well-known breeds of sheep. For instance, the Spanish Merino or the French Rambouillet do not herd in the same way that the Palestinian sheep do because they tend to form a grazing line. They have their own place and they tend to stay in that place throughout the movement of the day. But the shepherd, the wise shepherd, the faithful shepherd, does not depend upon the herding instincts of the sheep in order for them to follow him. He has something far more powerful than that. He develops a personal relationship with each sheep. He makes sure that sometimes during every daily schedule, he spends time with every individual sheep alone. When he calls them by name, they run toward him and toward his outstretched hands. They love this. He rubs their nose and scratches their ears and their chin, and they respond by rubbing their face against his and maybe nibbling at his ear, and he talks to them in affectionate terms. And he lets them know that they are very important to him, that there's a personal relationship and he loves them. Now, I don't know how much language animals understand, but they understand a relationship. And they respond to that. And the sheep do. So after a short time, the sheep then returns to his place. He's had his turn. But he returns with a fresh sense of not only security, but satisfaction. The relationship is renewed. The relationship is refreshed. So that now, he's much more responsive than he was to staying close to the shepherd and following when he leaves. The shepherd has found out the key to leading and the key to a sheep following. And it has to do with love and desire. Well, what does it mean to experience he leads us in the right path for his name's sake? Well, the shepherd cares for the sheep in a way that flows naturally out of his own love for them. He's dedicated to their well-being. But that is not the only motivation for his care for them. The shepherd does what he does because he is who he is. His own character. A man's character is not readily observable to just anyone. His reputation grows out of what he does. But how do you know his character? Well, ultimately, if you watch a person's behavior, if you watch their attitude, if you're up close, so that you know what's happening inside as it demonstrates itself, you find out who the person really is and the heart that determines why he does what he does. At that point, you're getting close to what the character of the person is. Well, the shepherd knows his sheep. He knows all of their weaknesses, and he knows that if he allows the sheep to do whatever they jolly well please, the flock and his reputation are both going to be destroyed. And ultimately, it's a reflection on his character. So he has something very personal at stake. A sheep is like no other animal in the amount of care and management that it requires. They are extreme creatures of habit. What they do repetitively, without change. Unless the shepherd intervenes, they will repeat a behavior until it becomes destructive. For instance, they will use exactly the same path over and over till the path becomes a rut. And they continue to use it until the rut gives way and becomes a gully. They will feed on the same hillside until they have chewed the grass right down to the roots and in fact have destroyed the roots and frequently have scratched them up and eaten them. And when that happens, the land goes barren. When that happens, what used to be good pasture becomes wasteland. And it's almost beyond reclamation. With great expense and great effort, it can be reclaimed. But that kind of land rarely is. In our own history, the history of our own country, especially in the West, we saw this because there were hostile clashes between the cattlemen and sheep owners. And the reason is, sheep being allowed to graze on open range soon destroyed it. And the cattlemen did not take kindly to that. And so there was a great deal of trouble with a lot of lives lost. Sheep who are left without the guidance of a wise and faithful shepherd become their own worst enemy. They not only abuse and ruin the land, but the paths and the pasture that they use quickly become infested with parasites, and that infection will soon destroy the flock. In order for that to happen, someone has to intervene, because there is nothing within a sheep. There is no inherent quality, there's no learned ability that will save the flock from certain self-destruction. The only hope that a sheep has is that there is a wise and faithful shepherd who understands their needs, who understands their weaknesses, and who has a plan and will execute it faithfully. And the plan, of course, is a management that uses the land and the sheep so that each benefit. The sheep benefits from the land, and the land benefits from the sheep. Now, having looked at what this means from the sheep's perspective, what can we learn from the sheep? He guides me in right paths. Well, like the Palestinian sheep, our experience frequently leads us to a crisscross of paths that all look pretty much the same. Each one is rather inviting. Some maybe not so much, but the undiscerning eye cannot find a clue as to what is the right path. And after all, we want to find the right path. We want to know which way to turn. How do I get my life on course? In fact, I say a large percentage of Christians are frustrated and find themselves spending a great deal of time struggling simply because they haven't discovered how to find the right path. How do I know? And we do all sorts of things to try to figure out, are we in the will of God? Are we on the right path? How do we know which way God wants us to move? Now, part of our problem is that we're much too concerned about the right path and far too little concerned about He leads. He guides. You see, the shepherd is the one that knows. And he knows that we, like the sheep, do not have great herding instincts. This is one of those areas where the Palestinian sheep are ahead of the rest of us. We don't have the herding instinct. In fact, there is something within us that seems to drive us to stray. There is something within us that drives us to resist following, because we want our way. And we don't mind following if we're first given a pretty good idea of where we're going, if it meets our approval. Now, our shepherd does not drive his sheep. He leads. And so it's important for him to develop a relationship individually with us. Our love for him, our love for being with him, our desire to follow him has to become strong enough to overcome the urges for self-direction. And that is the only thing that will change us. For us, like the sheep, probably the most crucial part of our day is the time when the shepherd calls us by name. And we run to his open arms to be comforted, to be loved, to be told that we're important, to begin to form a personal relationship and understand what that warmth means. And some of you may not know what that means. Some of you may read a chapter a day to keep the devil away. For you're not sure what it means to be alone with God and feel a warm relationship. To know what it means to be joyous at being told that you're special and feeling special and knowing that you're special before Him. For that to be stimulating to your life and your heart and to have to do with your motivation and direction. See, this is the time that He tells us that He loves us, and this is the time that He teaches us what He wants us to be like. And of course, what He wants us to be like is to be like Himself. Our shepherd has a perfect plan for our day. Tomorrow, He has a perfect plan for the day. He has a perfect plan for next week. He has a perfect plan for next year. He has a perfect plan for the rest of our lives. It includes the big picture, and it includes the details. It includes the end, and it includes all the means toward reaching that end. It is perfect, it is for our good, and it is certain. There's just one weakness from our perspective, and that is, He doesn't discuss the contents of His plan with us. He doesn't tell us what that perfect plan is. That is His sovereign will, and He has decided it. It is His plan, and He will accomplish it. He reveals a very limited amount of it to us. We can read in some of the prophecies, and we know that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. We know that He's going to set up a kingdom. We know something about the current nature of and the progression of the nature of our society and the way sin impacts it. We know what is going to happen to those who believe in Christ and those who do not. We know something about His plan. But basically, that's where it stops. The rest of what He tells us has to do with His will and desire for what we are to become, not the events. The plan is not there. The will and desire to mold our lives is central. That's where all the focus is. And all that we need to know, all that we can know, all that can be known about His will is revealed in the Scripture for us. 100% of it. It is all there, and it's not anywhere else. It all pertains to what He wants to do in our lives. And all the questions about finding the right path are resolved in one admonition, and that is, follow Him. Stay close. Keep a love relationship. Stay close enough to be warm. Stay close enough to be comforted. But that's it. Do you know what would happen if He gave us the details of His plan for tomorrow and next week? Well, some of us will run in horror, and the rest of us would be spiritual enough to set out on our own to do God's will. We would need a shepherd. All we need to know is the right path. I mean, we are so stupid. That's the reason he doesn't tell us. It's a as you need to know process. See, it's relationship, not direction. It's not physical place. It's change of heart and life. But he leads us in the right path for his name's sake. Now again, the shepherd's care and management in our lives is the outworking of his love and his wisdom and his faithfulness. His love just naturally reaches out and does what is right for us and what is best for us. And he never quits. But there's an added urgency to this. And it's because he knows that we have very self-destructive patterns, and if he leaves us alone, we're in great trouble. We are so much like sheep in this respect that it's shameful. I mean, it is amazing how unaware or unconcerned we are that we have this gift, or we seem to have this gift, for taking the simplest behavior, even if it's very good, and abusing it till it's destructive. In the face of the fact that we try our way, and we try it and fail, and we try it and fail, and we try it and fail, and it's destructive to those that are around us, and we still insist that I know what is best for me. Now that has to be nothing more than a testimony of my pride, and how ingrained it is, and how blinding it is. Can't I see? The fact that our habits are so self-destructive that they begin to make ruts in our paths, and the paths are ruined to the point that we begin to stumble, does not seem to wake us up. The fact that where we feed is so destroyed that no one else can ever profit from being there doesn't seem to bother us. We say that we want to find the right path. And the question is, do we? Unfortunately, you cannot find the right path until you're willing to give up the right to make your own decisions. You have to follow the shepherd. That's the only way you find the right path. Our shepherd knows that we are our own worst enemy, and that left to ourselves, we would make a mess of everything, and in the process, give him a bad name. So he takes the initiative. He always takes the initiative. He takes the initiative because he knows exactly what is right, and he has a plan that moves us in right paths from one place to the next at exactly the right time so that we won't destroy everything. And he moves us in whatever way he sees best. And he is very faithful to discipline us so that if we resist and we don't want to move or we want to disobey, he will do whatever's necessary to get us going. Sometimes it's painful. And of course, the key to it is he always calls us by name individually on a daily basis to say, come spend time with me. Listen to me. Find out what my heart's like. Find out where I'm going. And follow me. Just follow me. We'll find the right path. So it all boils down to a simple question. He leads me in right paths, or paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Do we really want that? We all say we do. I mean, none of us would be so unspiritual as to say, no, we don't want to go the right way. But if you really want to know the answer to that, you have to answer these questions. Do we want to be guided, or do we want to be self-directed? Well, it's very practical. It comes right down to, what are you going to do today? Are we ready to follow the shepherd, even when we know that he is not going to show us the plan ahead of time, or ask for our approval? Are we willing to follow someone like that? And will we invest ourselves in knowing the shepherd? Now, everything that we need to know about is in God's Word. What do you know about Jesus Christ? What do you even know factually about Him? And then have you looked at Him well enough to understand what is behind His actions and what is behind His Word? And what is His heartbeat? And what is His passion? And what is His desire? And would you want to be like that? It can happen. Follow Him. That's His whole goal. Not to get you where you want to go, but to get you like Him. And then you go where He wants you to go. I mean, we need to know, what is it He wants? What is it He expects from me? And how can I trust Him? And to get to know someone well enough to trust them that way takes more than little knowledge. It takes a relationship. And it takes a lot of knowledge to have a relationship. Now, I hate to tell you this, but it's true. Most of us already know more than we're willing to practice. He said, if we just knew the path, if I just understood more, I need to study the Bible more, I need to learn more theology, I need to learn more of this. Hey, those are good things. That's part of the means of getting to know Him. But it's not necessarily getting to know Him. You start with responding to Him in a relationship. And what happens is, part of growth has to do with our capacity to hear and our ability to learn and our ability to take in. Take the little baby. How much does he eat? Not very much, but fairly frequently. Well, how did he get to where he can eat more? Just keep taking in. The growth process is a fairly normal, natural kind of thing. If we take in and we digest, meaning that it becomes part of us, it becomes part of our thinking, it becomes part of our values, it becomes part of our decision making, it becomes us. Thy word was found and I ate it and it became the joy and rejoicing of my heart, Jeremiah said. Then it becomes you. And then you grow and your capacity to take in more. But now listen, you can learn all those verses you want to that don't get digested. And it's just fat and flab. It's all show. It has to become part of you. So most of us already know more than we use. I'm not saying you shouldn't no more, you should. But it has to come in integrated fashion where it becomes you. The secret is spending the kind of time with Him that causes us to delight in following Him. Again, we're talking about quality time. I suspect all of you have spent, and maybe regularly spend, some time reading the Bible from time to time. The question is it with a person or is it with a book? Is it with information or is it in a relationship? And when you walk away, is there a delight? Is there a difference in your step? Is there a difference in your look? Is there a difference in your manner because you have been transformed from one phase of glory to the next? And most of us are pretty low on the scale. But the process of the relationship determines the direction. And that's what makes the difference. You will not find the right path. You will not find God's will. You will not understand what you're supposed to do or what you should do or whatever. You'll find a relationship. And the relationship will get you where you should go and doing what you should be doing, how you should be doing it in a way that's fruitful. If you pass up the relationship, forget the rest of it. It's all religion. Don't settle for anything less. Don't settle for anything less than the warmth of His love and the thrill of knowing Him and following Him. Let's bow in prayer.